So, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Johnson on Radio Edutalk in Glasgow. Across the virtual table from me is David Noble in Dalgetty Bay in Fife. And tonight, I'm really delighted to say our guest is Charlie Love, who is, I guess, computing maven in Scotland. I'll always like getting the maven word in somewhere. And has been part of the ICT and Excellence Committee organised by the Scottish Government, and maybe Charlie will tell us a bit about that later on. Charlie, sure. Could you maybe just start off by giving us some background on yourself? And before I do that, if anybody wants to ask a question of Charlie, if you just put a tweet out with hash edutalk on it, or you could email edutalkr, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk with any questions, we can pop that over to Charlie. Okay, Charlie, so maybe could you give us a wee intro to your kind of background in general for anybody who doesn't know you?
Yeah, sure. Well, I've been a computing teacher for the last 20 years. Okay, 20 years is an awful long time. Computing teacher at Cults Academy in Aberdeen, and I've had that post for a number of years. I do a lot of work with both the SQA and with Education Scotland on curriculum matters relating to computing science. But I've also been part of the ICT Excellence Group, advising the Cabinet Secretary on the user-centred future of GLO and where we can go next in terms of developing that system. I've got a background in kind of software development and also in trying to do some curricular innovation and curriculum development as well. So I've been involved in quite a number of things from the Higher Still program way back in the day, right about the sort of 1998-99. I was a national trainer for information systems, which was a new subject that we brought in at that stage. And I've been involved in things like the NQ review since then, and also in a number of other roles at SQA as well. So a fairly broad involvement in kind of the Scottish education system, and both at a local level within Aberdeen, but also at a national level as well.
So that's a pretty busy CV, Charlie, and quite a few people, I think, wonder how you managed to keep up with all you've done. I think tonight there's two or three things I'd be interested in hearing your opinion on, and other things, and one is maybe a kind of overview of the ICT and Excellence Group, and then where we are with that, and then maybe we could move on to GLO and then some other things.
Okay, sure. I mean, the ICT Excellence Group report is a very forward-looking report, I think, on just seeing what's possible with ICT in education, and also trying to look for a model for that is as future-proof as we can make it. So the ICT Excellence Group report really goes into a number of areas. It talks about the authentication service that we would have for the next generation of GLO. It also talks about the kind of user configuration tools, the portal tools that would be part of that. And it also then talks about some of the ideas around the governance of GLO, how GLO should be involve users much more at the teacher level. And it also makes a number of recommendations about what we call the kind of operating conditions surrounding GLO. So things like where we are with broadband and looking forward to the rollout of things like SWAN, the Scottish Wide Area Network, looking at what we can do with Wi-Fi in schools, and also the bring your own device agenda. So where are we at? How can we, you know, facilitate our young people using their own technology in schools, and what do we do when young people don't have access to that tech as well? So there's a lot in the report. It was a very, very busy sort of 5 months or so, 5-6 months putting the report together, and an awful lot of hard work has gone into that report from really everyone who was involved in the committee.
Yeah, it's been an impressive piece of work, Charlie, and as you say, tons in it. And I don't know if we want to home in on one or two things. The things I really liked about it was the idea of it being a lot more agile than what we've got up until now with Glow, up until the refresh, the first version of Glow. And the thing that I wonder and worry about is the bit between the schools and the bit between our sort of CMIS and Glow or Glue.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there was an interesting article today in the Holyrood blog and online magazine that was about where we're going next with Glow, and it was talking about the rebranding of Glow. And the head of RM Educational Services made a comment in that article that said that he felt that the ICT Excellence Group hadn't paid enough attention to the plumbing. I think he was a phrase that he used. That back-end stuff that happens in the architecture where mm-hmm. your users get created from your MIS system and everybody's levels and permissions are all set up and created in that. Now, I actually think that's actually a little bit unfair, because the ICT Excellence Group report does mention that integration with the MIS systems. But we're also very much focused on the user, on the actual genuine user experience. And it's a bit like when you're shopping for a kitchen. When you're looking for a kitchen, you look at the services that you're going to have installed in your kitchen. You look at how they're going to be placed, how they're going to work together, how they're going to look. But you don't worry too much about the plumbing in your kitchen, because you know you're going to have good people around you that are going to make that happen. And I think my kind of analogy is that we know, in the ICT Excellence Group report, it does talk about the links to MIS systems. We do know that needs to be part of the system. Those strong links that exist already into Glow will still exist and will going forward, and will still form a major part of the system, because that they have to, because that's where you're going to get your user data from predominantly, is from those links to the MIS system. So I think to say that we didn't pay enough attention, well, you could have written, 150 page document on the plumbing.
Yeah.
But we were very much focused on the user, and I think that's the key thing.
Well, I think that's always the argument that will be the key for this idea of keeping user. I've always said to people when I've been talking about Glow, as a teacher and as a leader of pupils and things, I don't really mind what you do in the back end to get this to work. I'm more concerned about how it works, what I see, how easy it is to use, and it's somebody else's problem really to deliver that.
Well, that's it exactly. It's those things they are architectural concerns that happen behind the scenes that we can, we can create the code to do that. There are lots of tools that will allow us to take extracts from MIS systems and put them into the whatever the core authentication system of the future Glow will be. I don't think it's too big a deal. I'm fairly confident that set of architecture is very achievable for us. We already have an existing model in Glow. We probably want to take that and do some tweaks to that. I'd say that certainly that ability to link into MIS systems, it's in the report. It's very clear, and I think we can be very, we can all feel reassured those links will be in the new system.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody in another local authority a wee while ago, and he put forward the idea, this was just in a casual conversation, that the MIS system to Glow, that link up should almost be separated from Glow, and it becomes just something sitting in the back end that you could plug in this Glow, that Glow, the next Glow without any problem. It's just like a pipe of this MIS data. Could you see that as a goal?
Yeah, absolutely, because when you have the MIS data, you have to work with the number of partners who are the MIS system providers. So in Scotland at the moment, I believe that is CMIS and it's Pearson who do their E1 system. And those, I believe, are the two that we have to integrate with in the immediate term. Obviously, the next generation of Glow is also going to be available to the independent sector. And they use a separate set of tools, normally a piece of software called PASSIT, or PASS system. So that's another third set of tools that we would have to integrate with. But if we set up a standard that Glow will accept, we could potentially work with partners so that they can conform to that standard with the data that they export. So there, again, that's a very, very sensible thing to do, set up a data interchange standard so that everybody knows what Glow Plus everybody knows what that system needs in terms of its input to create users and take in timetable data and so on.
Yeah, that just sounds great. And if we get that, then we can just, as teachers, say, right, that's dealt with. I don't need to think about that again. All I'm left to complain about then is the front end that I have to actually manage my pupils and things like that.
Yeah, this just comes down to the user experience, and that's the key thing, isn't it? It's how easy is Glow to use? Can you pick up Glow and use it with no training? Is it intuitive? Does it provide you with the correct services? And do the services talk to each other? Do they exchange data with each other? Can you use them on a variety of devices and so on? So the front end, the user experience, has to be very, very good. We've struggled on for a number of years with a poor user experience. A user experience does work. I mean, you know, you can do, and there's great practice out there of people who've used Glow very successfully with their classes, but they have to make, you know, quite a significant effort to make that happen. They have to put a lot of work into getting the system to do what they want. But that's to their credit. You know, they're stuck with it and they've gone for it. But that is the minority. What we're really looking for with the next generation of Glow is to get the majority of teachers on the system using it for their resources, using it to share what they're doing with other professionals, but also to use it as a system to communicate with their pupils and work together online and also support the work they do offline. So we really want to get that user experience just right.
Right, and just another question, it's that there's a tweet here that came in which is sort of links into a question I've got, and it's Jim McLean, and he says, do you think the report is too forward looking for some people and could limit its potential implementation?
Well, I think the trade-off here is that these are recommendations and there are a number of key partners that have to be involved in the future development of Glow. You have, obviously, Education Scotland, you have ADES, and a number of other partners that would be involved in taking Glow forward, SQA and so on. So it's important that whoever's going to be responsible for the implementation of Glow works with these partners to take forward the recommendations and to focus on making that those recommendations happen. I think one of the things that I'm slightly concerned about is that we've gone out really and said, Glow has to be about teachers, it has to be about sharing, it has to be online, it has to be social. And there's a lot in there that's new, that's it's not cutting edge, but it's cutting edge in education. The idea of integrating people's social networks with the platform and the idea of having, you know, perhaps having users able to sign themselves in, perhaps on a temporary basis, but users able to sign themselves in when they can't get online for whatever reason. So I'm thinking of the idea of a learner that arrives in your school, they don't have a login, you as a teacher need to get them working on the system. Well, you as a teacher can get them signed in and approve them and have them logged in without the MIS data, et cetera, coming in and linking that up. That's kind of to deal with the reality that we have, is that if you are trying to use Glow in a class group, you find that 5 or 6 of the kids don't have a password, have forgotten the password. There'll be teachers listening to this who are very familiar with the situation. You have to request a password. Sometimes you can't get it reset. Sometimes you want to request an account. It takes 3 weeks for the account to come. By that time, you've finished that activity and you're onto something else. We need a system that can really respond, and teachers aren't left waiting and learners aren't left waiting in the classroom to get started. They can just get into that system and get busy. So that authentication idea and having teachers able to create accounts could be quite an important part of the system if we're wanting to get everybody using it. Jim McLean was asking, I'm just catching his tweet now, and saying, is it too forward-looking? I think it's ambitious, and I think that was it's a long-term user-centered future of Glow. So it has to be ambitious if it's going to be a long-term aim. I think there's great merit to the report. I think it has in there everything that a teacher would want out of the system. Whether that has everything that local authorities would want in terms of some of the securities they would be looking for, but I would hope we can work with them and reassure them that the security precautions that they want in place can be achieved within that future user-centered Glow.
Yeah, I think so, obviously dealing with lots of local authorities is a bit like herding cats.
You said it, John. I couldn't possibly comment.
No, I mean, it's obviously quite tricky. Sorry, David, did I interrupt you there?
Charlie, sorry, it's David Noble here.
Hi, David.
I read the report this morning, and I think it's a very important report, and like many people, very close relationship down the years with many of the members of the ICTX group. I'm just wondering, I'm not putting words in Jim McLaren's mouth, but it's maybe taking on his point a bit further. And I'm concerned about capacity to actually change things here, and it goes actually to the heart of the process of writing the report, I feel. I've been involved in a couple of developments in the last couple of years, and it appears to get folk together to get people to actually move ideas forward and to try and get some kind of step change within systems, and that's an area maybe of CPD standards, that kind of thing. Now, I think it's a really important report. Everybody should read it. However, I would say it's a poorly written report. I think it's poorly structured. I don't think it defines what the problems are. I don't think it follows in a logical progression. And even unless I'm reading the wrong version of the final report, it's riddled with typos and basic, spelling and grammatical errors. So I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, Charlie. But that to me, just that suggests that it was maybe a bit of a rush job. And I sense it elsewhere, and I work in a school and I know how difficult it is for everybody in the lines of work. But if it's the case that it's been difficult to pull this together, then how are we going to build the capacity in this what seems to be a small group that's advocated to take this forward, to actually be able to do any of the things any of the recommendations that are listed? And I have to say, one of the real kind of credit point for the report is, like many reports nowadays, it's very honest about where there's going to be difficulties ahead, and it's refreshing that it's not, just kind of hitting you with, here's what needs to be done in this yeah. will. So that was refreshing. But a lot of big things, authentication through Twitter and Facebook, potentially, making sure that it's set up correct for pupils with additional support needs, maybe issues around their literacy, strong argument for cloud computing and storage. But that's massive amounts of time just to pull folk together, even to get started before looking at resources.
A couple of points I'll take it. First, the presentation of the report. These things, what happens is the report goes to the Secretariat within Scottish Government, so they take forward the presentation of that report. So I can't really comment on that part of it. It goes to the Secretariat within Scottish Government, and they would then be responsible for ensuring the appropriate presentation of it, so I can't comment there. In terms of things like the timescale for this, yes, we had a tight timescale. However, I think what we did as a group, more than probably any group that I think I've ever worked with before, is we were very, very, very focused on achieving things within the time frame that we had and writing the report and coming up with the recommendations that we have. We were very focused. We undertook a tremendous amount of work in terms of school visits across the country. And, members of the Excellence Group went to, many, many local authorities and visited primary and secondary schools and met with local authority colleagues and had discussions with them. We had a number of teleconferences as well, discussing things like the filtering system and what we would do about a national filter. And it was interesting, when we had that discussion with local authority representatives, there was quite a lot of agreement that national guidance on filtering would be very welcomed at local authority level. They felt that if we could achieve that, then that would be something they would see very, looking at very favourably. Mm-hmm. But we were certainly, I do understand your point about the tight timescale. It was a tight timescale, but it had to be in terms of where we were going next. We are sitting with a timeline. We have a December the 15th switch-off date for the RM authentication system that currently is in GLOW. So December of this year, your RM Unify interface will go. Your current GLOW login and portal and so on will disappear. So we have to have the report in now. So decisions can then be made based on those recommendations about how we then move forward.
And we just lost Skype, folks. So if you're listening to Radio EduTalk, Skype just dropped the call.
Hello, John.
A wee bit of technology going wrong. I know, maybe come to that. in a wee minute.
So where were we all?
Where were we all? I mean, I think we'd covered the idea of the timeline, mm-hmm. what's coming up, and the fact that RM will disappear.
Yep.
How do we talk about the presentation of the report?
Ali, I think I'll just tell a wee thing about the report. It was interesting with the use of, I've forgotten the phrase now, the kind of user stories. And I thought that sat well with this notion that we kind of mentioned at the start of the programme about agile development or agile software development, which would be interesting to hear more. It sounds like that's something that's you've got plenty of experience about. Maybe that was a part of the report that you were involved in. But can you say something about just the... listeners could probably guess what it means, but what is actually meant by agile development, and then maybe a bit about how you went about, or how the team went about writing these user stories, and maybe give us a flavour of them, and how you feel that actually helps the report, and maybe helps us to move forward.
The concept of agile development is really that you can have small teams of developers that work very quickly, who rapidly make prototypes of the system they're developing, and you can see rapid progress over a very short time frame. So the idea is you would have a small team working together, they would rapidly produce a prototype, and then come back to a user group or a client group and say, right, this is what we have developed so far, give us your feedback on that. So then they take that feedback and they go away and they would develop further. And so what you get is a system that's very user-focused, very focused on meeting the needs of the client group that want to use that system, that are procuring it and the user base. But a system that develops very quickly to meet that need. So agile development is responsive. It changes. If there are sudden changes in circumstance about the project, then it can adapt very quickly to those changes in circumstance. If technology changes, it can change quickly. So the idea of the user stories in the ICT Excellence Group report is really that we collected together an initial set of user stories that could be used in the next phase of development. Whoever is responsible for the implementation of, let's call it Glow Plus, as we called it in the Excellence Group report, whoever is responsible for that implementation has at that point the content of the ICT Excellence Group report, but they also have, and they have these user stories on which to start to build a system. And the user stories are a very common tool in the agile development process.
I think that ties quite nicely with Jim McLean's next tweet about it needs to make the difference in classrooms, bedrooms, for all learners. And I think this sort of ties up the thing I was thinking about earlier when you said it's got to be, have no learning curve, basically, to use a piece of software. And I don't know if that's actually possible. And I'm thinking of something like Facebook, which people would say, well, anybody could use Facebook. I have a great deal of trouble with Facebook. I find it confusing and I don't use it very much. And I think the reason I have trouble with Facebook is it's not giving me enough of a reward at the end that I want to use it. And to bring teachers in, it's got to show them that there is something really valuable that's worth them making the effort, worth them taking their learners in.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, to sort of balance this effort and reward?
Yeah, if we have a system that makes teachers' lives easier, it makes it more straightforward for them to do the sorts of tasks they would want to do, whether that's sharing online resources, whether that's creating interactive assessments, whether it's creating interactive learning tools and so on. If we have a system that makes those things easy and allows them to then bring together different bits of content in a relatively user-friendly way, then, yeah, I think that'll be the reward. I understand the concerns. It is difficult to make a system that's very straightforward to use. We have some simple rules about how the system should function. For example, we say that to get into any particular resource, it's no more than 2 clicks. Simple rules like that actually have a huge impact on the usability. We can set up some simple rules that govern how Glow Plus is created, how the user interface should work. We can do that. That would help us to ensure that it's a system that gives people that reward, that payback. In terms of learners, obviously rewards and payback, it does mention in the report things like the use of badges and achievements and awards tied to the use of the system, and that being part of, you know, a key part of it, so that you can earn, you know, if you carry out certain activities, you can be rewarded for those. And I think that that sort of achievement system is quite an important part of it as well.
Yeah, I've just got a couple of tweets from Caroline Braley, and she very much likes the idea of having Glow Plus. It doesn't need ages finding workarounds. And I think that gets to sort of the frustration a lot of us have felt with the original version of Glow, where you can see how it could be improved quite easily, but because of the system that's in process or in place for improving it, it needs to go through lots of gates and wheels and through Education Scotland, through RM, through their programmers and back.
And every change has a cost, and every change has a huge lead-in time. That's why the ICT Excellence Group has said an agile development group, a group that will be responsive to user needs and create changes quickly over time. That's one of the key reasons for that, is that Glow didn't change and it hasn't changed. We had a refresh 2010, we had the blogs came in, we had the wikis and them and the forums. But other than that major refresh that was kind of led by Andrew Brown, other than that, we've had very, very little change and innovation within the platform. And it's been crippled by the difficulty of using it. You know, the fact that you have to find workarounds to do the simplest of things. Uploading a video is a major task. You know, it doesn't take too much common sense to realize that those are things that need to be improved in the future. That if you want to upload a video and put it in your blog or in your area inside Glow Plus, it should be upload video, click, find a video, upload. It should be as simple as YouTube. And if it isn't YouTube, in my honest opinion, you know, why go and procure a video system for Scottish education when you have perhaps the greatest video system in the world available to us for free? You know?
Charlie, you're mentioning there about the difficulties with the current version of Glow and the previous version. I'm sure everybody would welcome a complete change in the way that it operates. And I think the report outlines a vision where people can see that if it comes to fruition, it certainly will make it user centred, and we won't have to find all these workarounds. Nonetheless, no doubt a significant amount of money and human resource went into getting us to where we are with Glow as it stands. You know, with all its benefits and faults. So, I mean, I would imagine maybe John's alluded to it, that if we move to this great new vision, where okay, it'll take time to maybe bolt on all the things that we want to see and give it complete functionality. But yeah, it sounds to me as if there's still, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in Glow at the moment, but you know, it's still, I would imagine, even with a good search engine and such, like, you know, some of the great communities that are there just now, I still think that they're probably going to be quite difficult to find unless you know what you're doing, unless you've got a kind of link that you can go to straight away. So certainly from where I'm standing, I think there's to make the Glow Plus version work, there's still going to be, have to be at local or national level, some form of you know, in-service training or CPD that you know, you would just allow people to opt into, and the report does allude to a new iteration of the cookbooks or whatever it might be called, simple online videos on the site, and I think that will certainly help. But would you say that there's a strong argument for some kind of a blanket training, even if it's fairly brief, that everybody can have a heads up and at least know where to go to the major parts of the new system?
I really hope that we get this so right that there isn't going to be that need. That could be, maybe that's slightly naive on my part, but I genuinely believe that if we create a great system, a system that's very clear, very simple to use, we put in the kind of online video support, we put the tutorials in there that people can have a look at to find things, we create great online help and support for people that they can use when they want in a time and place of their choosing, then I would really hope that we wouldn't have to do the kind of face-to-face one-on-one, well, face-to-face one-on-many CPD model. I would really hope that we can make this happen using that kind of online support. I think actually many people would find that, you know, being able to watch a tutorial video that's very clear, just a short 30-second video, 3-minute video maybe at most, that takes you through the key aspects of whatever Glow Plus is. So my hope would be that we'd be able to create a system that was certainly so good that we wouldn't need that investment in support. That would be my goal. Personally, I think that's where we need to be going. We need to have a system that is so straightforward to use that you can follow maybe some online guidance and you're able to get up and running with that.
I think maybe one of the, so I don't know if it's a problem or not, but interesting things about that is that I think now there's an ever increasing gap between people who are reasonably fluid with ICT and people that are not. And I was worrying a wee bit the other week. I was doing a Twilight and I was leading people through in a very much show you a bit, you play with it, show you the next bit, you play with the next bit way. And it very much was sort of old-fashioned CPD. And at the end, I asked the folk, I said, you know, how did you think of the structure tonight? Do you think it would have been better being more open to just give people more time to play and then take feedback and back and forwards? And to a man, everybody in the room said, no, we like a wee bit of instruction, very mm-hmm. much the old pattern for CPD. And I think there's still a lot of people out there who wouldn't dream of looking at a video online, or wouldn't dream of, my favourite method of finding out how things go is to click at random quickly and see what happens. You know, there's a lot of people who still need to be shown that there's something of value online.
I appreciate that. I mean, I often deliver Twilight training and ICT training, and I can totally sympathise with that and I do see that. I still do genuinely hope that we can do something. Hopefully we wouldn't need so much of that input, because I think when we're looking forward, we spent an awful lot of money and an awful lot of time and effort doing Glow training.
Yeah,
and we have a history of investing in ICT, but to be honest, sometimes we don't get the reward for that. We invested heavily in Glow, and yet when we look at the statistics and the numbers of people using Glow, we find that, you know, not all teachers are using Glow every week. We have current Glow usage numbers that are down at times, you know, below. Now, I did have a graph of this, you know, usage numbers that are as low as sometimes 20,000 returning users in a week. So it's pretty low, some of that usage. Compared to the total number of users in the system. So I think we have to understand that we've given a lot of investment in terms of ICT. I think we should continue to support Glow, and I think we should continue to look for where we can get, you know, we can train people in the most appropriate way for the usage of Glow. I think it is difficult, particularly difficult in the sort of national financial financial position that we're in, to then promise a multi-million pound training effort when we don't have the resource there to do it. And that's a concern as well. You know, we maybe don't have the resource to do the huge national training effort that we did with Glow. If you look back at the budget for Glow when it was introduced, the training budget was, you know, it was a huge figure. And I would be concerned that going forward, I don't know if we would have that resource available. So I think we also have to be realistic about the nature of the support that we can provide. I'll probably get shot for saying that, because that's the truth.
I mean, I think one of the biggest impacts in for Glow itself was that because of the amount of training, we opened up some people's eyes who wouldn't have seen the possibilities of using ICT in the classroom. I think that was the biggest thing. Charlie, we've spent an awful lot of time, and we're actually slightly over time. I'd like to kind of hang on to you if you're okay.
Sure.
Because we've not talked about Glow at all tonight, and I just think that it's really uh-huh. important. I mean, there's other things I think we'd put on our wish list of things to talk, which we'll maybe have to leave for another time.
Yeah.
But I think Glue's very well worth describing and having a wee chat about.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So I think I launched Glue with you guys, John and David, back in sort of May last year, and kind of said, well, look, here's Glue. Go and have a wee look and tell me what you think. And the response to that was really positive, and the great kind of great feedback from the kind of education community at large, just saying, you know, this is the right direction for us. This is the sort of thing that we want to see. A range of services, a range of tools that we can get into, and we can use. And that response was really great. So I kind of took that and then carried on developing Glue, and I've been working, you know, to do things like get Glue to a point where you could sign into it with your Glow username and password. So I had that up and running. I had the system where you could begin to customize the user experience. So just at Christmas there, just after Christmas there, I launched the kind of sort of Glue Tiles user interface, a complete change to the look and feel of Glue, where you can actually now go on and choose the services and shortcuts that you want on your Glue dashboard. So you can go in there and choose the things that you want, and they appear as little tiles, very much based on, you know, drawing certainly on the kind of Windows 8 tiles experience. And that idea, I had posted some screenshots of that kind of idea back in May last year of what I thought it might, you know, it might look like. So I've kind of developed that new user interface, and Glue is kind of, I suppose it's just developed more and more over time. When I get school holidays, when I'm not teaching, I get a bit of time, I can put more into it and sort of develop some more. So it's coming together as a system. Have designed it from the beginning to be a system that is scalable and agile, would support the agile kind of development process. That, you know, it tries to be as mobile friendly as possible. There's still some development work to do on the mobile kind of aspect of it, but a system that kind of follows the principles of the ICT Excellence Group's recommendations. Now, Glue is an open source project. Anyone can come and get the source code for it. The source code for the Glue tiles is already up on the Drupal website, so you can go up there and you can download it and install it yourself if you want. So it's a project that's going to continue to be an open source project, to continue to be kind of open and looking for community to get involved. Some interesting comments today, again, on the Holyrood magazine item. Some concerned parents or some concerned people posted a number of questions about Glue, which I said on my blog. Again, basically saying, you know, is it scalable? Is this something that somebody does in their bedroom? Those kind of questions. I've tried to answer those in my blog, but basically, you know, Glue is scalable. It's a proven set of tools. It uses the same software that the White House of America used for their online services. The authentication system uses the same system that Cardiff University and Loughborough University and a whole host of other education establishments throughout Europe use for their authentication. So it's a pretty robust set of tools that I've glued together.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should point out Glue's like your vision for Glue Plus, yeah?
Glue is pretty much my vision for Glue Plus. It's not the finished product. It's still in development. There's lots of things that can be added to it and will be added to it over time. Glue's my start for 10, saying this is the kind of thing. But it's really based on that common sense kind of principles that we need something that we can take parts and swap them out. We need something that's responsive, that can be customized at the user's level. What's the point in having an app library if you can't install apps yourself? You know, that's one of my criticisms, some of the tools that we've been given in schools. For example, the RM Unify tool that's been rolled out at the moment. Well, the user can't control any of that. The user can't customize that experience. And I feel that very strongly that when we're wanting young people and teachers to be using an online system, the first thing they have to be able to do is customize that system to meet their own needs. So if they want to add a particular service, they can add that service. Why should we stop them adding a shortcut to something if that's something that they want? We could do that in the Glow Light system that we used to have in Scotland. We still have the Glow Light at the moment. You could add your own shortcuts. They would come up as little buttons on your Glow Light homepage. But now with the RM Unify system, unfortunately, we can't yet, and I hope they do improve it, and I hope they make it better, but we can't yet add our own tiles as users. We can't customize it by adding our own links or adding our own resources to it. So it's quite a static experience. It looks pretty, but you can't really do much with it when you're there.
I think that comes back to the agility of the development that a big company that the programming has maybe been done somewhere else, and the change requests have got to go through three or four steps before they get to the actual people who are going to do it, and that process becomes very long and withdrawn. And if you compare that to what you've done with Glue, you said, you know, it wasn't finished, and I hope if it it becomes GLOW or something like it becomes GLOW, that it's never finished.
But yeah, well, yeah.
We've always got to keep changing things. You know, I'm always going to want something different than I'm given. You know.
Sure, and that's the idea with GLOW. You know, people make requests to say, "Can I add this? Can you put this into it?"
Well, I think I remember that at the very start that I saw the first copy of GLOW you had.
Suggested the service. It was
no wiki, you know,
teaching my monster to read or something. I think it was. I'm trying to remember what the service is called. She would like added as a service that was available inside GLOW, and I added. I went away and I found the link for that, and I added that tile. Mm-hmm. to the GLOW library, so that if you want to go and engage with young kids and they want to look at reading, then it's the Teach Your Monster to Read First Steps webs. I've created a tile for that inside GLOW. That was a request that came in. Carolyn made that request and I went away, and then I just added that tile. And a number of the other things that have come in that are there in the app library have come from this community. They've come across, you know, I've sent them an email, so I sent them on Twitter, you know, adding things like Prezi and Quizlet and so on. Those things have come from the community, and I just gone ahead and added a tile for them at that request. So again, that's agile, isn't it, really? Meeting, development, yeah.
Yeah, the example I was thinking of was a lot more impressive, because I think I tweeted you that it didn't have a wiki, GLOW, and 15 minutes later you had a standard media wiki install added on. I just can't imagine the length of time that would have taken to add to GLOW, and it was 15 minutes, and as far as I'm aware, I think maybe there was one or two wee bugs in it that get fixed over the next week or so.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah,
it's that kind of development that really excites me, because you know, as soon as we get a system in place, that some folk are going to want something else. They're going to say, "Oh, I need that," or "I've just discovered this, and we need to change this." And we need to keep that sort of agility in the system.
Yeah, the beauty of the GLOW platform is that it's based entirely on open source code, and it's based on open standards. You know, there's nothing proprietary in there. There's no kind of business interest in what's in the GLOW platform. Everything there is open source. So it means that if you've got that open source code and you've got those open standards, that you can then look to integrate a much wider variety of tools and services than you could if you're dealing with some sort of proprietary setup where they've got their own little bit of code that they don't let anybody else see, and there's no community of developers there. I mean, I have to say, a lot of the integration work that I do, I go and Google it, or go and find out where somebody else has done something very similar, and I might email them even and have a discussion about how did you integrate that particular service, so what did you do for that. And because it's a community, an open source community of developers, you'll get that feedback and support. So although I've been doing all the programming on my own, in one way I haven't really been on my own, because there's been a community out there of open source developers who have kind of trailblazed in front of me, who have made things, who have developed things, and I can go and look and reference their work often. I find that really exciting, that we can really leverage that really big community to make a great system.
Yeah, certainly. And just to look back, Ian Stewart put out a tweet about CPD and things. He says that the difference between small communities of practice sharing ideas and getting started and top-down training, and that, I think, parallels the agile development. Small teams of developers working who have got reach into the bigger pool to pull ideas together can be seen as teachers developing something together, but that hooks to reach out
to
people and other groups.
That idea about looking at a different model of CPD, that's a really valid point, and actually I should have thought about that earlier. Rather than have a big top-down CPD model going forward, that perhaps maybe what you do look at is having communities of practice and having teachers working together, sharing ideas and supporting each other in terms of developing their ICT skills. I think that's a sustainable model of CPD going forward, more sustainable than the Big Bang kind of common training approach that we're more familiar with sometimes.
It seems to be the way things are heading to some extent, so that's probably good. We're really, we've held you back far too long, Charlie. I think we could do a whole evening on open source parallels to CPD. I would love to talk to you about the coding for kids stuff.
Yeah, because that's really exciting. That's really exciting stuff. The sort of computing science developments as well. There's lots of great stuff going on.
It'd be good maybe to do another one about that. But just to sort of round up, what's happening next? Your report's in. The government's got it. Somebody's looking at it.
Yeah, so the report's in, the government's got it, and where do we go now? Well, we have the ICT Excellence Group, as the Excellence Group, has its last meeting with the Cabinet Secretary at the end of this month. I'm sure there'll be discussions surrounding how the next phase is shaped at that meeting. As announced, the Cabinet Secretary has formed a project board, which will have a number of people on that to represent key stakeholders. And that project board, I imagine, will be meeting relatively soon after our meeting on the 27th of February. I think there'll be greater clarity about the way forward following that meeting. Obviously, right now, Education Scotland are very busy rolling on with the email rollout of Office 365. They then move on to the portal rollout and the change to blogs and various tools. And we haven't really spoken about that implementation tonight, but there's lots of work happening there about moving and changing Glow into Office 365 over the next sort of 6 months. There's a busy stream of work to do with the implementation of Office 365, but there'll also then be a very busy time looking at where we're going in terms of the implementation of what will become Glow Plus.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's lots of, what would you say, possible pitfalls, but also great opportunities in that. And certainly, I can see that the ICT and Excellence Group pinpointed quite a lot of these opportunities, and aiming for the good stuff is probably a great idea. David, have you got anything else?
I do know. I'd just like to thank Charlie so much for coming on the show tonight. Always love listening to the work that he's involved in, and his explanations of all the developments. And I'm never quite up to speed myself, but when it comes to kind of technical aspects, I think Charlie makes it crystal clear. So thanks again, and hopefully our listeners will enjoy or have enjoyed the live show, or will enjoy listening to the archive version. So hope people can keep the discussion going. I know that as alluded to earlier on, there's a vibrant discussion going on in the Holyrood magazine website, and I'm sure if anything comes through ourselves, we'll pass them on to Charlie.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. I hope your listeners have enjoyed it, and I haven't been, maybe too technical for them. I think we have a great future ahead of us. I've absolutely no doubt about that. There's a great opportunity here to use the very best of the web to benefit our young people, to make the online environment that our learners can use much more engaging, much more exciting, and much more relevant to their own experience. And I'm really thrilled to be part of the ICT and Education Reference Group going forward that will provide some input into that process. And I really hope that there's some more opportunities to get involved. So it's an exciting time, and I think we can really make some significant changes. So thank you very much, gentlemen.
Oh, no, thank you. And I don't think we've got a show sorted out for next week. David?
Oh, you've got me there, John.
I know the week after we've got Ian Guest, which I'm kind of looking forward to.
He's in Sheffield on Twitter, yes, so that'll be great. What's Ian going to be talking about, John?
No idea. ICT, about his 365 project, which he's been putting out over Twitter. I'd also quite like to talk to him about MOOCs because he's been involved in a couple of MOOCs recently. So lots of interesting things.
I mean, the other show lined up for next week. Well, I'm sure we'll get a show lined up for next Wednesday. It was going to be one on the Festival of Dangerous Ideas, programme for which is about to be launched, but that show with Karen Lawson is now going to be on Wednesday the 6th of March, so really looking forward to that one. But no doubt we can put a show together in time for next Wednesday.
I'm sure we can. So I'll just say good night, folks. And thank you very much for listening. Cheers.